Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth, the rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to The Bigger Picture with myself and Michael Rachia. And we need a breather, although America got a pleasant surprise last night when Democrats finally won in Alabama for the first time in 25 years. So it looks like the awakening is happening. Of course, I'd like it to happen quicker. So let me say good morning to Michael. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Maria.
How you doing?
Good to be back with you.
It's always good to have you on the show. You know, you may or may not have seen how many times I've created a meme on what you said. I don't know if it was last Christmas, if it was the Christmas before, but when you said, and it stuck with me all these years, still worshiping the messenger and haven't gotten the message. And
Absolutely.
I will tell you this, I put that together in a meme and I posted it on social media and people loved it.
Oh, great. Thank you.
So here we are again. It's the holiday season. And you're looking at the world and you got to say, maybe they still haven't gotten the message.
Well, certainly. I mean, you look at the ads. I think you know that I posted a couple of weeks ago. I was so disgusted with a TV ad over here at the moment that suggests that Christmas is football. You know, nothing wrong with liking football, but they have as the background to this ad a hymn, and the inference is that at this time of year, this is what your Christmas is about. And then, of course, we've seen the other ads for the food and the drink and the animals that get slaughtered and the clothes that you're going to buy and the good times that you're going to have. And fine, by all means, have a good time. But there is no mention of the spiritual at all. And the material seems to have been boosted and boosted and boosted until Christmas is all about what you can get out of Christmas for you. You know, what about what you can give to someone else at Christmas? And if you can't afford to give something materially, you can give loads. You can give a great deal spiritually. And you can do yourself a favor at Christmas by considering that message that you were just talking about. Not with any particular creed in mind, not with any religion in mind, but the message, which is the message that we've been given by high spiritual guides, by high spiritual teachers for thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
And we've ignored it, and we continue to ignore it.
Right.
So at the moment, we're ignoring it at our peril because things are getting worse.
I totally agree there. You know, when I was a kid, as we've discussed before, and maybe I should say discussed as well, as you know, I was raised a Jehovah's Witness. And, you know, they pound the Bible into you day and night. I mean, it's a 6-day-a-week religion. I mean, there's no breaks from it. But I do remember once when one of the elders was given a sermon and he was talking about Armageddon and how only Jehovah's Witnesses are going to survive and all this stuff. I mean, I was probably 10. And I remember at the end of the sermon going up to him and some other men that he was talking with. And I was just a little girl. And I looked at them and I said, I don't agree with what you just said because the Bible says God is love. So if God is love, why would he kill anybody? And of course I was put down. They said to me, you're just a girl. What do you know? And I said, I know more than you. You know.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, the tenet of most religions is to love one another, you know, but you don't see too much love flowing from any of them. I mean, we're living in a planet where there's more hate in the public eye than there is love.
Yes, yes. And there's this incessant search for happiness. And we are sort of focused on materialism at Christmas as though materialism will bring us happiness. Mm-hmm. And how long, once you've grown out of childhood, how long does the happiness of a present last?
A day.
How long does the happiness of the next acquisition last?
Right.
Because all you're surrounding yourself with is solidified creativity. Mm-hmm. And you're not flowing as the spiritual being that you're supposed to be, that you are, and you're not creating as you should create. In an ideal spiritual society, we create the things that we want around us, and when we've taken from those things the experiences that we need, and those things help us to get, we deconstruct those things, and we create other things. But the things that we create are aids to our spiritual evolution, not aids to us becoming more and more materialistic.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And to answer that question, I would say, you know, looking at my own kids from when they were kids, I would say that thrill lasted about 1 or 2 days. So we all put ourselves in debt and hock for, you know, 1 or 2 days or disappointment or, you know, whatever. But that's not what the holidays were supposed to ever be about. Although, you know, I don't partake in any of them because I know they're all pagan. But it's an interesting time of the year. So I think everybody should say, you know, what am I really celebrating? Am I getting the message or am I just celebrating the messenger?
Do I ever consider what I am? Should I take time out to consider and to investigate what I am? Mm-hmm. And the answers are there if we look for them.
Right.
It is frightening on behalf of many people that they rush through their life from birth to death and never, ever consider what they are. You know, you look in the mirror and you think, what am I? Why am I here? Why am I sentient? What am I capable of? These are the questions we should be asking. And if we're being frightened by religion or frightened by a traditional view of God, we've got to put that aside and start again. And look at divinity in a new way as well. Look at the creative force that flows through us in a different way. Be brave enough to investigate God from a point of view of what is, from a point of view of what we are, rather than a religious point of view. And in doing that, we find that we take away that fear of God, or that fear of God that's been instilled into us since childhood, mm-hmm. and we find that, yes, there is a universal intelligence. Yes, we are part of that intelligence. Yes, we are part of each other. And as we're all on the same road, we're moving from birth to physical death, wouldn't it be a good idea to investigate what we are and to discover if there is something after death and to discover what lies ahead for us and to get as we're talking about tonight, a bigger picture. That's the great present we can give to each other this Christmas, a bigger picture through spiritual acts, through examining what we are capable of, how we relate to each other. Is there a different way to live? Is there a better way to create the world that we want? And the answer to all those questions is yes, but we need to have a look at them. Once we put the tinsel away and the wrapping paper away, let's look at those things, these holidays.
Absolutely. Well, you know, that's a good segue to a question I got for you from one of my listeners, Darren. He said in one of your books, there was a chapter where Joseph said you could heal all illness by worshiping the light. He said, I could never quite understand what that means. He said, how exactly do you worship the light and how do we go about doing that?
Right. I don't think worship's the word. I might be wrong. I'd have to go back to the book. But what Joseph is saying is that if you infuse yourself with light from within, light energy from within, you can bathe the areas of your body that are less than perfect, and you can regenerate them. Now, we are all channelers of light. As spiritual beings, we use the light energy to create and to uncreate. Everything that we see, I'm in a room at the moment, there's a door in this room, there's a couch in this room, there's a radiator in this room. All these things are composed at spiritual level of particles of condensed light. And all these things originally were created by us imagining first. You know, in order to make a door, I have to first create the door in my mind.
Right.
In order to make a radiator, I have to first create that radiator in my mind. And at the point that I do that, that's when it exists. We might translate it into an actual physical door or radiator or room through our hands and through tools, but we are just giving substance to something we have already given form to. And we give form to anything by using the light that we are able to channel. Now, if you have an area of the body that is suffering, you can regenerate that area by infusing it with the white light. So you go to the mind, but not the head mind, you go to the heart mind. You go in meditation to the heart mind, you enter the chamber of the heart mind, and you then see, you visualize the area that is affecting you, infused with white light, and becoming brighter and brighter and brighter. Until you cannot see any disease, you cannot see any defect, you can only see this wonderful, miraculous illumination shining through that area of the body. Of course, there are other factors. You've got to understand why you are ill in the first place.
Right.
What is the belief in your illness? What is the belief in your past? What is the upset, the trauma in your past that has caused the illness in the present? So you've got to treat it on two fronts. But it's not a matter of worshipping the light, it's a matter of channeling the light and accepting the light and accepting that you are a bearer of the light, you can project the light, you can use it to heal yourself, you can use it to heal others. Because the light vibration is a higher vibration than the corrupted vibration of our own bodies. And I don't mean corrupted in that there's been any perversion. I mean corrupted in that we are living within the confines of the fall. And as a result of that, the matter that our physical bodies are composed of is heavier than it should be. It doesn't respond as it would do were we thinking clearly from the heart mind spiritually. So we can infuse that heavier matter with light, and we can literally lighten it. And in lightening it, we make it of a rarer vibration, a more spiritual vibration, and we heal it.
Okay, he also asked, do you have any evidence or stories where someone's cured incurable diseases by using the light?
Yes, it's done at the Sanctuary of Healing, which is Tony, one of the other of the four members of the Band of Light. It's used all the time at the Sanctuary of Healing to heal people. But I have personal evidence in that I've treated aspects of my own body that have gone wrong with the light and cured them. Many years ago, I went down to a spiritual center and found that it wasn't very spiritual.
Uh-huh.
And I was booked in for a week, and I was booked in for a later week in the same year. And I cancelled the second week and felt dreadful that the people that were taking part in this particular week had, to my mind, no clue as to what was really going on spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
I felt as though I was wasting my time, and I felt that I had the world on my shoulders, and there was no one who had my back. And as I came back in my car, I came back into the house, sneezed, fell on the floor, and a disc shot out of my back.
Wow.
So I started going to an osteopath. I didn't want to go the doctor route because I didn't want traction. I didn't want an operation. And after about 6 months, he was treating me twice a week, and he said, "We're not getting anywhere." He said, "You're going to have to go and see the doctor." And I said, "No, give me a week. If I can't improve this condition in a week, I'll go and see the doctor. Let me meditate. Let me put the light into my back and take time to do that in this week. And we'll see what happens in a week's time." And so I sat, I meditated, I put the light into my back. I went back after a week and he said, "Oh, we're winning." I said, "Is it getting better?" He said, "Yes."
That's great.
He said, "I don't understand why." I said, "Because I've put light into it. I've been meditating." And he said, "You're not suppressing the pain, are you?" And I said, "There is no pain. The pain has gone."
Mm-hmm.
There are incidents with Jane, my partner, where we've healed various aspects of her body that have gone wrong temporarily. And things that normally you would have gone to the doctor with, we have infused light into and seen a complete cure in those areas.
That's great. I said that's great. You know, it's kind of like Reiki.
Yeah.
You know, I have people all over the world that ask me to send them Reiki healing energies or just for whatever they need it for. And they all tell me that they get results.
Yes.
So it's really about vibration and raising your vibration through your spirituality.
And cleansing your vibration. Realizing that there is a reason behind your suffering. And taking it back to that point of thinking, yes, I haven't released this. So you treat yourself with light. But you also look at various aspects of what's happened to you. And you look at the sore spots. What still makes you upset? What still makes you angry? What have you not forgiven? And in your meditation, you bathe those areas with light as well. And you dissipate those past vibrations that you are still linked to and which have a cumulative effect and which have caused you harm and are causing you illness and disease. So it's a two-pronged attack, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great, and that's a good explanation. You know, there's so much going on in the world that this morning before the show, I actually had some questions for you. So I jotted a few of them down. Right now, and I know you don't keep up on the news, but you can't really miss it. Women all over the world exposing men that have abused them or treated them like second-class citizens for so long and finally getting their voices heard. Does Joseph have anything to say about the sacredness or the power of women?
Well, Joseph says more about the sacredness of all things.
Mm-hmm.
We abuse women. We abuse animals. We abuse the planet. We abuse... I talked to my hairdresser, the lady who cuts my hair, a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, I feel sorry for Christmas trees. And there was a blank stare from her. And I said, no, I feel sorry for them. You know, we should be leaving them alone. We should have respect for them. Why can't we get an artificial tree? And I'm afraid it did fall on deaf ears.
Mm.
But Joseph's take is that everything is sacred. Men are sacred, women are sacred, children are sacred. All aspects of creation are sacred and should be held in respect. We should realize that we are each connected to the other. We are each a part of the other. So, you know, we have this attitude, don't we, on Earth where we say, phew, men or phew, women.
Right.
And that's a nonsense because in our past lives we have been male, we have been female, we've been both.
Right.
And the male and the female are aspects of the same thing. They're aspects of the spirit. We're trying to balance those, to bring them back together. But we're also part of all animal life. We're part of all plant life. We're part of the planet. We're part of the solar system. The same creative force flows through everything. There is only one organism. And that organism, no matter how you want to name it, is divinity, is God. There is only God. And there is, if I'm talking to you, Maria, I'm talking to God. If I'm talking to the people who are listening to this show, I'm talking to God.
Mm-hmm.
If I look at a cow in a field, I'm looking at God. And if you look at everything as being part of God, part of divinity, part of creation, then you can only have respect for those things. And respect for those things brings harmony, stops the cruelty, stops the abuse. And it's time we did that.
No, I think it's beyond time. Well, you know, when you talked about having been male or female in different lifetimes, which I agree with, what do you think about transsexuals? Well, does Joseph have anything to say about transsexuals?
He says that the spirit is expressing itself as best it wants to in that particular lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the male and the female is only a shell in any case. And there are challenges in life that are best surmounted by as being male, best surmounted by as being female, or best surmounted by as being a blend of the two. We are a blend of the two anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So he has no problems with transsexuals or, you know, gay relationships or anything like that. This is just a shell, and this is another area where we should have respect for people.
Right.
And respect that they are trying their best within the framework that they have been given. And that there are certain challenges that come to them as a result of that framework that allow them to evolve as the spirits that they really are. We are given the tools to evolve. We are given the circumstances that will allow us to evolve if we meet those circumstances in the right way.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and of course, ultimately, the spirit is male, the spirit is female, the spirit is both, the spirit is neither. The spirit is a blend.
Right.
We are only expressing ourselves as male or female in this particular life because of the effects of the fall. When originally, and at core, we are both. And I see nothing to be frightened of in that.
I don't either. Actually, my own opinion is it could be a normal stage in the evolution of the human race. And of course, they have to be very high spirits to choose such a difficult path.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And are expressing more of their harmony. They're expressing a greater amount of harmony than we usually do, locked into one particular sex.
Right. Well, you know, there's so much anger for whatever reason out there. To me, it's like, how does it affect anybody what someone else does, not doing it to you?
Yes.
But to me, I've always felt, you know, even, you know, listen, even being born a black woman in America, that's a hard challenge for a soul to have picked. Being gay, another hard challenge. So to me, the older souls are the ones that actually pick the harder lessons to learn from.
Yes, and also we have to remember that those people are influencing the people around them. It's not just the personal lesson that they're going through, but it's the opportunity to teach, to teach harmony, to teach tolerance, to teach love, and to try and affect as many souls as they can during their lifetimes. But as you quite rightly say, a very difficult challenge to have taken on.
Right, but especially since it seems to terrify heterosexuals so much. I don't even understand that.
No. it's very sad. But we're intolerant of so many. We're intolerant of what we see as being different. When we should be saying, you know, not different, but the same.
Mm-hmm.
We're just looking at different aspects of the spirit expressing itself through a physical body. It's amazing to see spiritual entities. It's amazing to see how the spirit evolves, in that sometimes you will see in readings, which I used to do, you would see a baby, for example, come through, a baby that had been lost.
Right.
To its mother. Having established that it was that baby, you then see that spirit transform into this wonderful, shining being. Sometimes not the same sex, but certainly exhibiting a great deal of light. And you know that you are looking at the true state of that spirit that was the baby, that spirit's evolution.
All right.
And you see an overwhelming amount of light, and you know that that spirit has come from a very high level of existence.
All right. So,
so
it does
see that transformation.
All right.
In spirits as well.
Well, I would assume, and maybe you have the answer, that once you're no longer in a body, you also don't identify as male or female.
Yes, you've got choice. It's like a suit of clothes. What do you feel happiest with? You know, which of your past lives do you feel happiest with? How do you want to appear to people?
Mm-hmm.
I have guides that appear at different ages, dependent on what they want to get across to me. I have guides that appear in different colors, dependent on the mood that they want to get across to me. We are not as we seem. And we can, also a spirit will appear, as in the case of the baby to the mother, in a way that the mother can recognize initially. But then if they feel that the mother is ready for some further information on them, they can transform instantly because they are thought, spiritual thought, into what they choose to be at that moment. Joseph has said that we are spheres of light. We can appear as spheres of light if we wish to, because we are mimicking with the circle the nature of God. But we can also appear as any one of our past lives. One of the males or females that we've been. And at any age, we can do exactly what we want.
Right.
It's only a projection, just as this is a projection. And that's a further point. When people are criticizing other people and saying they shouldn't be this way and they shouldn't be that way, you're just seeing a projection of the spirit. You're seeing a film show. You're not seeing the actual person.
Mm-hmm.
What is that person like inside? That's what matters. What amount of light do they give off?
Right.
How far have they progressed? What can they teach you? Because if you dig down within each person, there is that spark of angelic light. And that's what we should be recognizing in each person. Not the differences, the sameness.
Right.
The connection that we have, the oneness that we have. Then we make a real difference to society and to the world.
Right. Well, you know, it's interesting what you just said, because it brought a memory to me. When my mom got sick and she was dying, I would say maybe a few weeks before she died, she came to me in a vision, and she was about 35, healthy. My mother was strikingly beautiful. You know how beautiful some Sicilian women can be. My father used to tell us that all five of us put together weren't as pretty as my mother. what a nice compliment. Not, we'd be all thanks, Dad.
Nice,
all right, we'd be all thanks, Dad. But he, you know, listen, he loved her blindly, but that's another story. But what was interesting is a couple of nights before she died, I was sleeping in the same room with her. And I heard her voice in a very low tone. And she asked me, she said, "What's it like to die?" Just out of the blue, Michael. And I said, "Well, I haven't died in this lifetime yet, but I have seen some of my deaths in past lives." So I tried to explain it to her. And I said to her, "You don't have to worry, because you've already came to me and you're 35, you're beautiful and you're healthy. You're not in pain. You're out of that body and whatnot." And her response was, "Thanks. I knew you'd be the person to ask." But it was interesting because she kind of pre-announced herself before she had even died to me.
Yes.
But, you know, and when I do reads for people, a lot of times I'll see their loved ones the same way you describe. Sometimes I'll be shown a baby and then the baby will turn into somebody else and whatnot. And I would think that, you know, like that movie, What Dreams May Come, where people project themselves, how they love themselves the best. Do you know what I mean? Yes. Like when I see my father, which is rare... but when he does show up, he doesn't show up as a 77-year-old man. He shows up around 45 years old. And I would assume that's when he liked his physical being the best, whatever it looked like.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Why would anybody want to show themselves at death's door? Do you know what I mean?
Yes. My father does exactly the same thing. My father looks around 40. And in fact, he looks far younger than me, which is quite annoying. I tell him that's really annoying, Dad. How dare you do that? You know, all in fun. And he looks great. When I saw him the first couple of times after he passed, he was similar to how he was in life. But then he became progressively younger as he discovered his creative talents, as he rediscovered his creative talents.
Right.
Jane's mother, who went... few years ago through dementia, has come through as a young, slim person, fully restored, because that's the projection, as you just said, that she prefers. That's the time in her life that she prefers in this particular life that she's lived.
Well, that's another question. What does Joseph think? I mean, I have my own opinions, as always. What does Joseph think about people that have dementia? Are they still in their body, or are they dipping in and out, or are they totally gone?
Well, there's a problem here, isn't there, with linked into this question is the question of what do we do when somebody gets to a certain stage with a progressive disease such as dementia.
Uh-huh.
And it's a tough one, but Joseph says that whilst you are on Earth, you are learning. And he's not suggesting for a moment that people should be kept alive through drugs or through artificial methods. But he's saying whilst the spirit is here, there is a reason for it being here. I remember when my spiritual teacher was taken into hospital. She had battled illness and conquered illness all her life. And she was taken into a hospital, and she lasted 6 weeks in hospital. And one of her principal guides came through to me and said, now, she's going to go through what looks like a tough time, what will look like a tough time to you. But there are some aspects of karma that she needs to clear up and has decided to clear up for herself in mm-hmm. order to move on. So don't worry, it won't last too long. But when you see it, please understand what is going on, and please understand that it's necessary. She has chosen to go through that process in order to tie up loose ends. And so we saw in hospital, and there was a time when she couldn't recognize, there was a time when she was obviously about to pass.
Right.
But he was right in the timescale that he gave us. And what Joseph says is, look, it is important that we use this opportunity to learn as much as we can. Not to prolong life when we shouldn't be prolonging life, mm-hmm. but to recognize that there is an arc and to see out that arc as much as we can, because each day is precious with regard to our spiritual evolution.
Great. Michael, we're going to take a short break. When we get back, of course, we have more to discuss, so stay with us. Michael and I will be right back. It's the holiday season, a season of giving. Well, this holiday season, give a gift that lasts all year, the gift of knowledge. Consider gifting everyone you know a subscription to my show right here at maria.net. It's not just news. There's loads of spiritual, environmental knowledge, as well as tips on being as healthy as you can be. You may also consider giving yourself or someone else a private consultation with me. I love giving people the proper direction for their life based on their own blueprint prior to arriving here. Just send me an email with the name of the person receiving either the consult or subscription you paid for, and I'll set it all up with a note with who the gift is from. What better time than now to give the gift of knowledge? Sun Bear used to say taking in knowledge for the sake of taking in knowledge is a waste of time, and that knowledge only becomes wisdom when it's shared. Now, back to today's show.
Okay, welcome back to The Bigger Picture with myself and Michael Ray Chia. Get over to his website, check out his books, josephspeaks.com. There's a live link right here. And as my listeners know, and certainly my clients know, I recommend Joseph's books to everybody, okay? Pure spiritual truth without any claptrap and avoidance. It seems whenever you ask anybody a question these days, you don't even ever get an answer. It's always avoidance. So thank Joseph for being so crystal clear in what he has to say. One of the other things I woke up this morning thinking about, because you know I've read all your books, the fires in California. I don't know, hundreds of thousands of acres gone. People doing animal rescues, animals running for their lives, people cooking, animals cooking. And some of the people online have not been very nice about some of their posts, you know, let it burn and all this horrible stuff on a political level. But my thought is, all those animals there and the devic kingdom that the animals are, what happens to the devas when you have a natural disaster like that? Do they last through it and come back? I mean, what happens?
You're very psychic, Maria, because one of the chapters in Joseph's new book, which will be out next year, is about exactly that, about devas and about nature spirits. And I found it fascinating. And I've got to relate something that happened to me a few weeks ago. We were on a walk, Jay, myself, and Tony. And Tony said, there's a beautiful walk down by the river. It's secluded. You're going to love it. And I went down to the edge, to the river's edge, and a voice said, what are you doing here? I said, I'm sorry. And the voice said, what are you doing here? You're not supposed to be here. Bring into our realm your rubbish, your personal detritus, and you pollute it. This is one of the points of energy that we use to give form to the natural world, and you're not supposed to be here. And I was talking to a diva, and he was quite angry. He had a colleague, fortunately, who was not quite as angry, and advised that we keep away from that particular spot. And that has happened to me two or three times during my life. What we don't realize is that we share this planet. Wow. We're not the dominant species. And we think that we can ride roughshod over mountains and through forests and through rivers and across oceans. And there are points at which there is devic activity. And those points enable the Earth to continue in the matrix of diva activity that has been put around it, that maintains the trees and the streams and the rivers and the landscape. And we really should be more sensitive to these places. Now, with regard to the fires and what's been happening, if the Earth is a living being, which it is, and if we scratch and pollute that living being, which we do, then at times the planet is going to react against that. It's not a judgment. It's not God's judgment. It is simply that we have blocked energy lines and we have polluted the planet to the point where it erupts. It can't do otherwise. And what happens is terrible. I am not saying that it isn't. Of course it's terrible. Mm. The loss of life, the loss of landscape, the loss of animals is awful. But there is a factual reason for it. And the reason is the pollution that we put into the atmosphere of the Earth by our thoughts, by our actions, by our hatreds. And there are eruptions, there are consequences. You cannot disrupt devic harmony. And so, yes, what happens to the animals? Well, the animals are part of a diva. They are projections, just as we are projections. Mm-hmm. And so the animal soul, the sentience, goes back to the diva. And the diva can then express out again various aspects of plant life, various aspects of animal life, and can repopulate, as it were, the areas that have been damaged. But we have to respect that devic activity, and we have to respect the Earth if we want less violence from the Earth, less disturbance from the Earth, less natural disaster from the Earth. We have to understand that we are not alone. We have other spirits working with us to kindly provide the backdrop against which we live out our lives. Without them, there would be nothing here.
Right. Well, you know, not everyone has your ability to walk into a space and hear the voice of a diva. How would a regular person know where they should or shouldn't be?
Respect in all things. And again, we all do have spiritual ability. Yes, I've worked on this for years, and so I can recognize more readily because of the mission I've got when there is someone around. Mm-hmm. But we have to have respect for places. It harms nothing to thank the diva for allowing us to walk by the riverside. It costs us nothing to see that we don't drop litter into the countryside, that we don't contaminate the countryside, and that we meditate enough on a regular basis to be able to pick up when we should be somewhere and when we shouldn't be somewhere. Mm. We have to nurture our own spiritual gifts. We have to find out for ourselves by going within daily what we are capable of and what's around us. And the key to knowing where we should go and where we shouldn't go lies within, a sensitivity that we can build on daily by going into meditation. And that, again, that's something we can do for some stage of this holiday period, rather than being locked into the materiality that causes the disasters in the first place.
Right, absolutely. You know, go out and hug a tree. I've been accused
absolutely.
Of being a tree hugger all my life in a nasty way, like there's something wrong with it. But, you know, when I'm out in nature, I mean, I'm complimenting everything. I'm talking to everything from the stones to the trees to the flowers. I'm like, thank you for being here. Thank you for being so beautiful. Thank you for giving me oxygen. And it's just, for me, it's a natural way to be, to appreciate everything the Earth has to offer us, which is, again, goes to another little controversial topic that I was very glad to see Joseph cover in one of your books, about the sacredness of animals being the devic kingdom and not eating animals as part of your spiritual journey.
Yes, yes. This is always a sore spot, but I think we have to campaign for this because it's about time that we did the right thing. And we are, we are selfish in a way. We are used to meat. We are used to it being packaged so that we don't see it for what it actually is. And we want it. We want that taste at the cost of another being. And there's the old chestnut, there's the old argument, well, we've got sharp teeth, we are meat eaters. Well, yes, we've come along an evolutionary line, but the key to that phrase is evolutionary. We should be evolving. Mm-hmm. We should be evolving in the choices we make in what we eat, but we should also be evolving in our connection to the animal kingdom, to recognize that those beings are part of God, are part of us. They have feelings. They are capable of love. You've only to look at a cat with its kittens or a dog with its puppies. Of course they love.
Right.
They are complex, wonderful beings. Do we have the right on a particular day to say, I am going to end your life? I am judge, jury, and executioner simply because I like the taste of your flesh.
Right.
And not only that, as we've talked about in previous shows, because we are spiritual beings, we connect to the sentiment that is within the meat at the time that we eat it. And so we slaughter animals horribly, cruelly. They are in fear. They are in terror. That terror is inherent in the meat that we then absorb into our systems. We take on board that terror. We take on board those vibrations, and we then wonder why we suffer from cancers.
Right.
Why we suffer from other major diseases.
Well, why they're just simply in a bad mood, you know, why they're so angry, why it's so difficult to contact spirit, why it's so difficult for them to meditate, why it's so difficult. They don't understand the density of that in their body blocks them from being all they can be spiritually.
Yes. I was advised at the time when they said that I was going to go into trance to eat green leafy vegetables and to stimulate the higher molecules of my physical and mental and spiritual bodies to allow them to more easily communicate with me. So there's another benefit to the choices that we make in diet. Those choices affect, as you've quite rightly just said, Maria, our ability to contact and be inspired by the spirit beings who are trying to help us.
Right. Well, I don't know if I told you the story before or not, but, you know, years ago, I mean, I've been vegan now for 18 years, but years ago, you know how we Italians are and how we like to argue and fight. When I became a vegetarian, I remember it was a little while in, and my daughter, who used to love to spar with me, she said, "You're not fun to fight with anymore." And I realized that I had a different energy of peace in me that didn't feel the need to respond to every button being pushed. So in a way, it kind of ruined our sparring dates, but we sure get along a whole lot better. Speaking of kids, I know that's another subject that Joseph has talked about in a way most people don't, in that he doesn't really recommend bringing children into this world now.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. That's controversial, isn't it? Highly controversial.
Highly, big time. Top of the chart.
if my take on this and Joseph's take on this is that we have to get ourselves out of the pit that we placed ourselves in millennia ago through the effects of the fall. We are bringing people into this world to suffer. And I'd ask any one of the listeners to this show to consider any life and to come up with, say, one hand's worth, five fingers worth, four fingers and a thumb, to be correct, anatomically correct, of lives that have not had suffering in them.
Right.
And to examine their own life, to see that they have gone from birth to perhaps middle age to old age, and they're heading towards the transition. And for the most part, hasn't that been the struggle? Hasn't that been the challenge? Why would you bring the spirit kicking and screaming into this world to go through that terrible experience that it is at the moment? far better to restore this world to what it was before the fall, the paradise, the sphere of experience that it was before the fall, so that people could then visit it in full knowledge of who they were spiritually and not suffer, and not suffer. So we have to consider these things. Why do we want another child? Is it because we want the child to have a wonderful life? Because that ain't going to happen at this current point in time.
Right.
Or is it because we want a child for us? And if we want a child for us, then that's selfish. We should be considering the child, considering that life. What sort of life is that child going to have? And the answer is, not a very good one.
Mm-hmm. Well, can't disagree there, but it is a hot button issue, especially when you have so many religions demanding. It's like a requirement to have a child every year.
Yes, yes.
You know, and then the child is here and no one wants to share the resources with that child. No one cares if it eats, if it has a place to sleep or any of that. But religion, I think, has twisted people into almost feeling guilty not to have children.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. We have to consider that we are in a perfect spiritual society. We are angelic beings. We visit planets, which we create using God energy. We visit them as spheres of experience, spheres of positive experience that allow us to take back to the Godhead and to the angelic host different ways of looking at things that enhance the Godhead and prompt the angelic host to create further spheres of experience. It's a wonderful, wonderful process, but not here, because here we locked ourselves into the fall, and as a result of that, we've suffered on this merry-go-round that goes round and round and round ceaselessly ever since.
Mm-hmm.
If we want to bring through a future generation, better to bring through in the fullness of time a generation of angelic beings that were as they were intended to be brought through into this sphere, in full knowledge of who they were, in full knowledge of positive creation. And we're not doing that. We're not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
This is nothing to do with religion. It's to do with what is right for us all. And to bring people through to suffer, to Joseph's mind, is not right. And also, Joseph wants us to get back to that perfect state on earth. And we do that by leaving the earth alone, by heading in the other direction through the spiritual spheres, and allowing the earth to regenerate itself into what it once was, and negating the effects of the fall. We don't do that by ceaselessly bringing through future generations to repeat the same pattern.
Right. Right. Well, this obviously isn't the good place, so this must be the bad place. Just a little reference to the TV show, The Good Place. In your book, From Here to Infinity, you mentioned that the barrier between us and the spirit world is literally paper thin.
Yes. Yeah.
So why is it so many people have such a hard time connecting to it?
The problem is that they are trying to connect through the head mind. They're trying to connect through the physical mind. And the physical mind is simply a computer, a fight or flight computer that allows us to make sense of this level of existence and examines every aspect of what happens to us as, do I stay or do I fight? All with regard to, I must survive. And those are the messages that the head mind are feeding to us constantly. We have to get past the head mind. To get to that connection, that paper, get through that paper thin separation between us and the spiritual worlds, we have to reach into our heart center, the true seat of spiritual intelligence and intuition. And so there's no way around it. There has to be the discipline of meditation. And a lot of people at that point say, well, there's a shiny bauble over there. That interests me more than putting the time into meditation. And yet the time spent in meditation each day is the most precious time of that day. Generates energy for the entire day, generates intuition for the entire day, and puts us in touch with those spirits who are trying to help us. There's no other way, Maria, as we both know. You have to put the time in to get the energy out. And you have to learn to go to the heart center, and you have to learn to go within. All the answers, all that we're talking about tonight, you will discover for yourself within. Not from anyone else, not from me, not from priests, but from within. But you have to put the time in. Then you make the connection to those spirits from the other side. You make the connection to your true self, and you blossom spiritually. And you see that all those aspects that seem to be beyond your grasp are inside yourself, and you understand them. And your spiritual journey begins.
Right. And it's not necessary. And I think that maybe TV, the movies, the New Age, which there's nothing new about it, have convinced people of a certain way meditation has to happen, how long it has to be, and what your results should be. And that is a big turnoff for most people.
You're absolutely right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. People do go into meditation and expect after one session to be talking to guides, to be having visions, to be told what's going to happen in their life. When meditation gives you time to listen to the still small voice, and that still small voice, which is your voice and the voice of divinity within you, will not necessarily talk to you during that time of meditation. The meditation time is a preparation time, so that when you need that voice during your daily life, it can be heard. You've attuned yourself to it, and it can be heard. And you may meditate for years and not see a spirit, but you will sense through your intuition which way to go, what will elevate you and what will pull you down. There is always a benefit to meditation. No two people in the way that they sense spiritually are the same. One person will see spirits. One person may be a fantastic healer. One person will sense spirits. One person will sense other people's misfortune at a distance and know that someone who's connected to them is suffering. So you're right that the New Age tries to pigeonhole us and say you will see this and you will sense that. Not necessarily so. But what is so is that you will connect to the divine, and in your own unique way, your life will be enhanced. You will fill with light, which brings us to the beginning of the show again. You will fill yourself with light, and you will be able to send out that light, and you will be able to make better decisions and spiritual decisions that will affect you, your family, and the lives that you touch during your life.
Right. Well, another plus is it does give you some inner peace and some quiet. You know, we live in a world where no one seems to be okay with being quiet anymore.
Yeah, it's ghastly, isn't it?
I mean, they're always on their phone. They always got, you know, noise. There's always noise around. And how do you really collect your thoughts if you don't have the quiet?
Yes, you have to be quiet. You have to be quiet. And it's sort of a trick of the human consciousness. The field of human consciousness wants to keep you busy, wants to keep noise in your life, because you are then concentrating on the status quo, the negative setting of the field, rather than the positivity and the harmony that is within yourself. Yeah, we have to be quiet. There has to be a time when we turn off the TV, the mobile phone, the computer, the car radio, all the other noises and distractions, and just learn to be. And in the peace, we heal. In the peace, we rejuvenate. In the peace, we can help the world. In the peace, we can help each other.
Right. Well, I have to have my quiet time, so I make sure to do that as often as possible. Michael, I want to thank you again for joining me today, and I guess we'll talk again next year. We'll talk to you next year.
Yes, absolutely.
You have a great time till we speak again.
You take care, Maria. Yes, you too. God bless.
You too. Bye. Michael Rachia, josephspeaks.com. I love all his books, I'm sure you can tell. And I want to thank you all for supporting the show and enjoying the show. And I'll be back tomorrow with the news.
Thank you for listening and supporting the Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. The world of information, all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.